Welcome back to Latino USA, and today, my country. Or should I say, our country. At the end of each show on Latino USA, we usually bring you a tidbit of sabiduría, some words of wisdom. But this week, we're making a bit of an exception, as the woman I'm about to introduce has been a role model for Latinas and Latinos for generations now. And she's got wisdom coursing through her blood. From its founding in the United States, this country was set up to be a place where loyal, patriotic descent isn't just tolerated, but it's an American value. That's why I'm so honored to bring our listeners a conversation with labor leader Dolores Huerta, the co-founder of the United Farm Workers with Cesar Chavez. Welcome to Latino USA, Dolores. It's so good to talk with you.
Oh, it's nice to be back.
Dolores, so as I was saying, our country has always valued loyal descent. Your career, fighting for the rights of farm workers, helping them to earn living wages, organizing boycotts, being in protests, criticizing, you know, everyone in political power, your life has essentially exemplified that descent. Do you feel that this value has suffered or improved?
Oh, I think if anything, we become a more intolerant country. We don't want people to give their opinions or give their complaints. We recently had an incident because my organization, the Dolores Huerta Foundation, we're working on stopping suspensions and expulsions of our Latino and African-American children, which are a really, really high level. When we spoke to one of our school board members, her reply was, "You make us defensive when you come and you give us your complaints." We see that, I think, with the sort of militarization of our police forces, that if people speak up, then they're somehow punished in some way or the other. So we should always, always question, and we should always have dissent and criticize. If we don't call attention to the wrongs and the things that need to be improved, then nothing changes. The status quo remains, and things never get resolved. First of all, I think when you do criticize, I think that is an act out of love to begin with. It's like when you're a parent, and if your child is doing something that they shouldn't be doing, and you kind of ignore it, then you're not showing love for that child. And I think in the dissent only turns into, say, civil disobedience when people don't listen. But I do believe that all of this is really done out of a spirit of love and a spirit of civility.
Let's talk about Latino leadership organizations. In the mainstream, organizations like the National Council of La Raza, MALDEF, the Mexican Legal Defense and Education Fund, the Congressional Hispanic Caucus Institute, CHCI. So in your estimation, these large mainstream national Latino leadership organizations, how are they doing in terms of preserving loyal dissent in this country and in their role as spokespeople, if you will, for Latino communities?
Well, I think when it comes to, say, the immigration debate, all of these major organizations that you mentioned have all come to the forefront. But I think that we have to kind of test them somewhat. I was at the NALEO convention that they had recently in San Diego.
And NALEO is the National Association of Latino Elected Officials.
Yes. And I made the statement there that I think all of the national Latino organizations have got to look to their corporate sponsors. And we have to say to the corporate sponsors, we need your help to pass immigration reform. A lot of these organizations, they get a lot of sponsorships from these corporations, but we don't see the corporations really jumping in to help us on immigration reform. We saw that in Arizona when the state legislature passed a bill that would allow public places to discriminate against people who are gay or lesbian or bisexual, et cetera. All of the corporations jumped in. And they said to Jan Brewer, the governor of Arizona, don't sign that bill. All of these national organizations have got to step it up, and the corporations have to step it up, because many of them are giving money to these Republican congresspersons for the November elections that are dead set against immigration reform.
Latinos being now the prime consumer market that they all want, are there corporations that you're prepared to say are not doing enough? And are there some that you're prepared to say are doing great leadership work?
We do know that, say, some of the oil companies, for instance, how many Latinos do we have every day that fill up their car with gasoline from the various gasoline companies? I think they should be some of our first targets. And when I say that, I mean going to them and to speak to them and to say to them, look, we need your help. People like Chevron, we know Chevron is a contributor to Kevin McCarthy, who is now the new majority leader in the House of Representatives, the Republican majority leader. And so I think we can start with some of the contributors to Kevin McCarthy. We know that in his district, which is in California, in Kern County, over 30% of his district is Latino. There have been many, many petitions. There have been many fast demonstrations by labor, by religious, by community people, almost on a daily and weekly basis in front of his office, to the point where he doesn't even open his office anymore to anybody who happens to be brown. The only way you can get into Kevin McCarthy's office is if you're white. So, you know, I don't think that this is the way that a congressperson should treat his constituents. And two of them, of his own constituents, were arrested in his office just a couple of weeks ago. So, this is the kind of treatment that our community is getting on the hands of people like this congressperson. Those people that are elected, they can't turn a deaf ear on their constituents and the people that they represent.
I find that interesting, Dolores, and one of the reasons why I really love and enjoy speaking with you, because you always make me think about things in a different way. I would not have immediately thought of, you know, going to the gas companies and saying, think about how many Latino immigrants are using gas in their cars, et cetera, et cetera. I'm wondering about another kind of corporate or major market out there that you're thinking, you know what, no one talks about this major market vis-a-vis Latinos and immigration that you want us to think about.
There's AT&T, there's Walmart. We could probably go on and on of the major companies. And if we just look at some of the contributors to some of these Republican congresspeople, we can see who they are. And I think it's up to us that we have to approach them and say to us, well, this is an American issue. And again, when we celebrate the 4th of July, and we celebrate the founding fathers, and we say, remember, they were immigrants when they came to this country. When we talk about immigration, this is like, you might say, the soul of the United States of America have been the immigrants that have come to this country. And it's interesting, too, when we talk about reflecting on what our country is, then we also have to remember all of the wrongs that the people who settled this country committed, and that some of the discrimination that we still face, it's based on that. It's based on discrimination of people of color. It's based on discrimination against people who are immigrants to this country. So I think it's a good time for us just to reflect who we are as a country. We want to represent ourselves to the rest of the world as a democratic society. But we can't really say that when we have a racial injustice, when we have income inequality. You know, we should be a model for the rest of the world and not be hypocritical when we try to market ourselves as a model, but then when we look internally and see what are we really doing right and what are we really doing wrong in our country. And so it's a reflection. It's a time to reflect and say, I remember someone saying that our country is really a promise. It's an idea that really hasn't been entirely fulfilled. And when we think, well, who's going to make that happen? When only we, the people, the citizens, the residents of this country, we are the only ones that can bring that fulfillment to fruition, to really say that, yes, we do have a real democracy where people here share the resources of the country, and we don't have like the 1% that control all of the wealth while the 99% doesn't.
You did, in fact, create Si Se Puede, which became the theme of the United Farm Workers. Of course, then President Barack Obama used Si Se Puede, Yes We Can, in both of his campaigns. This is what he had to say about you and that.
And on a personal note, Dolores was very gracious when I told her I had stolen her slogan, Si Se Puede, Yes We Can. Knowing her, I'm pleased that she let me off easy, because Dolores does not play.
So what does it mean to you that that, yes, Barack Obama used your slogans for his presidential campaigns?
First of all, I thought it was just great to be able to get the Medal of Freedom for President Obama, because in my mind, it was the recognition of how important organizing is. And Si Se Puede is such an empowering slogan, because it means that we as individuals, we can make things happen. For the president to use that slogan and then for it to be identified, you know, with progressive causes, and it sort of came out of the universe, right? We were in Arizona back in 1972, and they had passed a law to make it illegal for farm workers to go on strike or to say boycott anything. And if anybody went on strike or said boycott, they could go to jail for saying those slogans. And so Caesar started a fast, which he did another 25-day fast. It was the second fast. And as I was inviting some of our professional Latinos in Phoenix, Arizona, to come and join us, their response was, oh, in California, you can do all of those things, but in Arizona, you can't. In Arizona, no se puede. My response to them was, sí se puede, sí se puede, in Arizona. That evening when I went back to our group and I gave the report and I told them what they had said, no se puede, and I said, sí se puede, and everybody jumped up and they started clapping in unison, sí se puede, sí se puede. And then, you know, looking at the World Cup games and you see the Latino countries that are they're rooting for their teams, and what are they saying? Sí se puede. So it's wonderful that very simple slogan then has come now a universal chant when people want good things to happen.
So what's going on for you right now, Dolores, as this is the president who has deported more people than ever before, 2 million now. We have a crisis with children, child refugees from Central America, how they're being held in our country. How do you process this crisis and lack of movement in immigration reform at this particular time in our country?
Well, it's complex, but number one, first we have to put the blame for not passing the immigration reform bill right smack at the feet of Boehner, the Speaker of the House of Representatives, and Kevin McCarthy, because they will not bring the bill to a vote. If they would bring the bill to a vote, H.R. 15, I'm sure that it will pass, because we know that over 75% of the American public wants immigration reform. Over 60% of the Republican Party wants immigration reform. It would pass. In terms of the children that are coming in from mostly from Central America, I think that these are economic refugees and political refugees and people that are escaping violence and poverty in their country. I think we in the United States, we have a responsibility. If we remember when we had the wars in Central America, wouldn't it be great if we could equate the amount of money that we spent in wars in El Salvador, in Nicaragua, in Honduras, right? And say, we owe these countries this money to help them develop their infrastructure, to help them fight the violence. And when we talk about people escaping violence because of the drug wars, hey, American citizens, stop using drugs, all right? Stop using the drugs. Let's boycott drugs. And that way, in terms of the deportations, I think, and I can't speak for the president, but I think that he feels that he's bound by the legislation that's been passed in the past. And he thought that he could get the Republicans on his side if he went along with securing the border. The other thing I want to remind people that it's been over a year ago that the president made a pronouncement where he said that they should not deport any students. They should not deport parents of citizen children, and that they should not deport anyone unless they had a strong criminal record. But the INS, or the Homeland Security, as it's now known, I guess they do whatever they want. Even here in California, we had Governor Jerry Brown in the legislature pass what they call the Trust Act, so that they would not be, again, deporting people using those guidelines that the president put out there. But they pretty much are doing what they please, you know.
Finally, Dolores, every one of our shows on Latino USA, we end with a little bit of sabiduría, some words of wisdom. So do you have some favorite words of wisdom, Dolores, that you come to? Is there something, some sabiduría that you carry with you that you'd love to pass on to the listeners of Latino USA?
Well, a lot of people ask me, gosh, you're 84 years old and you still have all this energy and you're still working. I'm going to pass this on. I think it's because I do not eat meat. I'm a vegetarian, although I do eat fish. I guess that makes me a pescatarian. So I just want to say to everybody out there, just be careful of what you eat, what you put in your body. And the other thing that I've just been recently realizing that I'm able to walk pretty good. I just did a 7-mile march with the young people who did the March for Democracy that I mentioned earlier. This is the 99 Rise group that is calling attention to the money in politics. And I realized something, that I could walk those 7 miles because I do a lot of dancing. And I'm sure people, when they see me on Twitter or Facebook, they, oh, there she is dancing again. So any opportunity that I can to walk or to dance, because I think if we start young, all listeners out there, especially, you make your legs strong. And if you make your legs strong, when you're 84 like me, you can still dance.
I love that, Dolores Huerta. Thank you so much for those words of wisdom. I think I got to go out and start dancing, and I promise I'm going to stop eating as much red meat as I do, which is not a lot.
That's good.
But I'm going to do that for you, Dolores. Dolores Huerta, thank you so much for your words of wisdom and for everything that you've done for our country. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Maria, for all the wisdom that you bring to all of us through your program. Que bueno, que bueno. I can't think of a better person to represent our country and the freedoms, and especially the freedom of the press and freedom of expression, than you, Maria Hinojosa. You are a blessing for our community. Gracias.
Ay, me vas a hacer llorar, Dolores. Have a beautiful weekend, mamita. Muchos saludos a tu familia, okay?
Thank you. Muchas gracias.
Gracias, Dolores. Muchos abrazos.